It is 2 p.m. I'm going to call to order this House Rules Committee meeting. We are in the Grunberg Room, Room 120, to begin with. Let's establish a quorum. We have Representative Chenault. We have Representative Kito. We have Representative Stutz. We have Representative Reinbold, and we have Representative Eastman with us, so a quorum is present. Anybody who has a cell phone with them, please turn it off. And I, of course, am Chairman Ledoux. Thank you, Lori Rowland, our recording secretary, and to Ben Manley from the Juno LIO. The first and only order of business today will be SB 37, Pharmacy Boards and Staff Drug Distribution / Manufacture. Representative Stutz, can I have a motion, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move to adopt House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 3730-LS0191/T, as in Tom, as our working document.
Okay, and I'd like to invite Matt Groening. Hearing no objections, that is adopted as our working document. I'd like to invite Matt Groening, staff to Representative Stutz, to explain the changes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, Matt Groening, staff to Representative Louise Stutz. The changes start on Section 8 on through 12. And Section 16-43020 deals with the Alaska Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. And just to briefly state, this was previously House Bill 231, which did receive five hearings and passed out of House Finance. On Subsection B is amended to specify that the chair of the commission shall serve as executive director and be responsible for and have authority over the internal administrative and commission. And this was designed to eliminate the need to hire another executive director. It codifies in statute that those executive director duties are going to be assumed by the chair. Section 9 on subsection C was amended to allow a single commissioner to exercise the powers and the duties of the commission when there is a vacancy on the commission, and that is to in recognition of that we eliminated from 3 to 2. If there is a vacancy, you still have to be able to have a quorum and execute the powers of the commission when there was only one commissioner. Section 10 on AS 1643040 is amended to allow for a quorum of one commissioner if there's a vacancy on the commission. Section 11 on page 6, line 31 through AS 1643050 is amended with conforming language to again reflect that the commission consists of two members instead of three. Section 12 on through 9. AS 1643060 is amended so that the member serving as chair will be range 27 and adjusts the salary range from commissioner, and that is in recognition again that the chair will be performing an extra role and have those additional duties and responsibilities. Section 13 on page 7, lines 10 through 14. AS 1643110 is amended by adding a new subsection that specifies that in the event of a 1-1 tie in an adjudicatory hearing, the original decision of the hearing officer will become the final administrative decision of the commission subject to review by the Superior Court. And that just lays, again, it's a conforming amendment to allow the commission to function properly with only two commissioners. So the hearing officer, the way it works is they originally will make a decision based on whether to issue a permit or not issue it, and then if the person disagrees, they can appeal to the commission to have a decision made. So in the event that there's a 1-1 tie in that appeals process, the original decision of the hearing officer will become the tiebreaker and be the decision of the commission. Section 14 on page 7, lines 15 through 20, AS 1643-960D is amended to allow for show cause hearings to be conducted before one commissioner if there's a vacancy on the commission. And a show cause hearing is where, let's say, a transfer has been denied and the person who had disagrees and they want to be shown why it was denied, you can actually have a hearing to where the commissioners have to show cause of why they denied that transfer. Section 16 on page 8, lines 11 through 15, it adds an applicability clause to the uncodified law of Alaska that establishes that a salary change outlined in section 12 of the bill will apply. And that's because you can't retroactively impair a contract through the passage of a law. So the commissioners that are appointed, that are in today, will stay at their current salary until they're reappointed or until somebody else is appointed. With your permission, briefly, Madam Chair, I would like to say that there are only two differences between this bill and the CS that passed out of finance, or two differences between the CFEC portion of this bill and what passed out of finance. We did codify in statute that the chair shall serve as executive director. And we took the range in finance. They made a change to where both the commissioners were arranged. Currently, there are 27 right now. We changed that to what was the original fishery CS, which is range 27 for the chair, range 24 for the other commissioner. And again, they're going to be doing a whole nother job. So three ranges seem like appropriate for a person that's going to be taking over in statute a responsibility they didn't have before. And just to recap briefly, this portion of the bill, it changes the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission to increase efficiency, streamline the commission, and save the state a considerable amount. Eliminating one of the three commissioners in statute will have an immediate cost savings of $187,000 per year. The bill does assign the executive director duties to the commissioner serving as chair, eliminating the need to hire another position, and it reduces the salary of the commissioner who is not serving as chair from range 27 to 24, which will result in an additional $41,814 per year in cost savings starting in year FY22.
Thank you very much, Mr. Greening. Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now, going back to a previous version of the bill, when I heard the bill previously, House Bill 231, there was talk about unionizing some of the employees at the CFEC. Can you tell me what the status is on that portion of the provision?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Eastman, that portion was removed in finance, and they're going to stay in exempt status. Just through discussions with the CFEC, the majority of the employees, or at least everyone that talked to people in finance, decided that they really didn't want to go that route, and we felt like we were going to honor the wishes of the employees at the commission. So that's been removed.
Thank you. Paula?
If I could add to that, Madam Chair.
Let Representative Stutz add to that, and then you can follow up.
In addition to that, I know that the CFEC employees were provided with the appropriate personnel to describe the options in becoming unionized or not, and they unanimously chose not to. And then, as Matt said, we were trying to respect the wishes of the employees.
And follow up. So Section 14, can you tell us what is driving Section 14? So this is where now you don't need a quorum of commissioners any longer for those specific types of hearings. Now we're down to two commissioners, so we don't want to require two commissioners. Now we're going to only require one. Why wouldn't we still want both commissioners to be at that cause hearing?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, it's so in the case of a vacancy, you can still conduct those hearings when there's only one commissioner. So going from three to two, we had to adjust that requirement for some of the hearings and the quorum requirement when there's a vacancy down to one to allow the commission to continue to conduct its business.
I understand. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Representative Keto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a few comments, and I understand the importance of trying to make sure that we get CFEC working again. That's been a challenge over the past couple of years, making sure that we have a full complement of commissioners. I won't object to the bill moving out of committee, but I do have some things I want to get on the record. One, a concern about having the chair of the commission as the executive director. I am not sure how that interfaces with the employees being accountable to an appointed person. Maybe that is not a problem, as they are appointed in much the manner that a commissioner of a department is. I think that may be okay. But in trying to make sure that there's consistency, there might be a need to look at this issue again in future years to make sure that there are adequate transition provisions for executive administration of the agency if we have a situation where an chair of the commission is not there, or the commissioners maybe the situation where we end up with a commissioner not serving for very long, so maybe not getting up to the point where they're able to be the executive director, and then they end up moving on. And so we could end up at an employee level with some dysfunction, and so I just want to make sure that that's on the record, that that we might need to come back and deal with that issue in the future. But I do know that CFEC needs some support from the legislature to be able to effectively operate, and I think this is a way to get them started.
Thank you, Representative Keto. Representative Stutz.
Thank you. In response to Representative Keto, rest assured I will have one eye on the CFEC as long as I'm here.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now, on this portion here in Section 8, dealing with the executive director portion, have we verified that there's no power of the commission being dealt with in that section? I see in Section 10 that a quorum is required for the exercise of any power of the commission. I just want to make sure there wasn't any overlap between these responsibilities which we're now giving to the executive director.
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, I do not believe there is. The wording they used on page 6, lines 18 through 21, it says responsible for and has authority over the internal administrative and personnel practices, and I believe the word internal really modifies that, so we're not talking about administrative practices that would involve an adjudicatory hearing or something to that nature, because that's not an internal proceeding.
Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
I have no questions, but I do have a comment.
Go ahead, Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the answers to the questions. I don't have any further questions, but just as a comment, I know procedurally, I don't think that the the commission was broken from a procedural standpoint with having three commissioners. Now, by moving down to two, I think we're seeing some of the logical difficulty when you only have an even number commission, or you might have a vacancy and then only have one commissioner. And so I'm concerned that our attempt to cost save by reducing the commissioners is going to have some unintended consequences.
May I briefly respond to that, Madam Chair?
Go right ahead.
The decision to go down to two commissioners, sorry, through the chair, Representative Eastman, the decision to go down to two commissioners versus three in statute was something that was discussed with the governor's office, with the United Fishermen of Alaska, with both the current, or not the current, but at the time, the two CFEC commissioners, Bruce Twomley and Ben Brown, or excuse me, Fate was appointed by that point, and Fate Putman. And it was something that, with the workload going down of the commission and the fact that the position was been vacant for some time anyway, it was viewed that the elimination of that in statute would be a cost savings that, with some adjustments in the bill, would allow them to continue and actually increase their efficiency without having that extra $187,000 per year price tag attached to it.
Thank you.
Representative Chenault.
Madam Chair, if I may just make a comment. I don't believe the commission had anything to do with the amount of members that were on the board. So there's no fault to the actual board for not having a full slate of members. That can be traced right back to the existing governor for not. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other comments? All right. Can I have a motion to move the bill out of committee?
I move House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 3730-LS0191-T out of committee with previous fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Hearing no objections, the bill so moves. I want to thank the sponsors and the staff for their work in creating good legislation and finding consensus. Please stay around to sign the bill report. It is 2:15 and we are adjourned.